Chair, friends, comrades, I'm delighted to be here today at this conference as the issues being discussed are of real significance to the functioning of working environments which are founded on justice and not on threats and exploitation. The theme of this Law Centre seminar is the eradicating of modern slavery in Northern Ireland. And I am both grateful to the expert speakers who have preceded me and weary at the prospect of repeating some or much of what you've already heard expressed. That said, I feel privileged to have been asked by the Law Centre organisers to make a short contribution on behalf of the trade union movement. The trade unions have a role in eradicating modern slavery. It is part of our historic mission and has been for a century and a half. Where we find exploitation, we challenge it. The problem with much of what is classed as slavery takes place in the shadows and indeed even in darker rooms. So dark are some places that they slip from the informal economy into the criminal one. I'm not talking only of sex workers, but of the Chinese and Vietnamese workers collared by the drug squad on raids on what's called cannabis farms right across Northern Ireland. The arrests are reported as crime being prevented and criminals getting caught. But what if the arrested farmer had little choice in his decision? What if he was the victim and not the perpetrator? A recent report from the Joseph Rowntree Foundation demonstrated that modern slavery flourishes in sectors of the economy where the shadows creep. It can be because of the illegality of the product, cannabis, for example, or the volatility and self-regulation of labour providers such as construction, or the seasonality of the work, much of the food that we eat. These are demand issues. There is also supply to take into account. One recurring source of labour which is vulnerable to exploitation, even slavery, are refugees and asylum seekers, as they are forbidden from working legally but still need money, or indeed simply the dignity of labour. Gross exploitation tends not to happen in workplaces where there is a trade union present. They tend to operate in places hostile to notions of justice or regulation. In the construction sector, trade unionists were subjected to an organised campaign of blacklisting, orchestrated by the Consulting Association and paid for by some of the UK's largest builders, including those who still receive huge amounts of taxpayers' cash through public procurement. Why are we surprised when we read in the Rowntree report that, and I quote, "In the construction industry, the issue of bogus self-employment engendered by self-regulation, coupled with the volatility of the industry, creates the conditions for forced labour to emerge. Particularly when deadlines loom, construction sites may include workers in regular employment, those working informally, but also, within that element of the workforce, those in a situation of forced labour. Why are we surprised when we read the annual statistics about health and safety abuses when workplaces become crime schemes, crimes for which there is seldom justice? Why are certain sectors more lethal for their workers than others? To continue from Rowntree, the seasonal nature of food means that when heavy demand for labour is required within the industry, forced labour in the labour supply chain becomes a real possibility. When retailers are forcing down prices and labour providers are already recruiting at or near the national minimum wage, the scope to offer ancillary services that generate additional revenue at employees' expense may open the door to exploitation and forced labour. The key line to understand from the Rowntree report is this: forced labour in the UK is always associated with some degree of informality. We have that informal economy in spades along the border, with conditions of near slavery afflicting those harvesting the fruits of the land, and the shore. Mushrooms are not the only profitable products which thrive in the dark. Shellfish gathering along the shores of Counties Louth and Down, directly across the sea from Morecambe Bay, also thrive. This July, 16 people were rescued from virtual slavery on a farm near Newton Hamilton in South Armagh in an operation led by the PSNI Human Trafficking Unit. A man has been charged, so further comment is both constrained and unnecessary. In 2008, the Irish Congress of Trade Unions worked with the International Transport Federation to try and achieve justice for 11 Filipino fishermen working 80 hours a week for the pricely sum of $400 a month, living in slum conditions in Kilkeel and threatened by violence by people who we considered semi-criminals, but were in fact pillars of their local community, if you believed the testimonials from the local dignitaries of church and state. There were further threats. They feared being blacklisted by the employment agency in the Philippines, which hired them out to work in the Irish Sea. They feared being locked up by the police if they reported the threats and squalor and violence of their situation, because they were not legally in the UK. If they reported, they would have been deported. It was a scam involving transit visas, but the details of the crime is less important than the rationale behind it. The owners of the fishing boats, the industry spokespeople, the clerics of the Seamen's Mission, their local politicians, some of all parties, made the same excuse. Local lads would not do the work because it did not pay enough. By enough, they mean less than one quarter of the minimum wage. Any more they whinge, and the industry might as well close. Well, that is how the market operates. If the same reason was offered by a business which did not pay their creditors, they would be out of stock very quickly. How the spokespeople for businesses get away with such rationales for ripping off workers and in turn the taxpayer is beyond me. In these times of austerity, disabled people lose their benefits for weeks at a time for making mistakes with their forms or missing an appointment. But on the other side, we see, we give knighthoods and peerages to the heads of large companies whose workers are so badly paid that they have to claim tax credits in order to feed and house their families. And an example, Tesco's workers received £700 million in tax credits this year. And between the three major retail companies, Asda, Tesco and Sainsbury's, they received £2.5 billion in corporate welfare, which we pay and is termed by the Tories of welfare benefits. That's corporate welfare. This is the background music that makes human exploitation and human cruelty seem normal. The Gangmasters Licence Authority has seen constraints on its remit and cuts, which has led to a quarter of its staff being let off. The same spirit animates other cuts. The Financial Times recently examined the impact of cuts to local governments in England and Wales and discovered that health inspections to workplaces have virtually ceased, a decline of 93% over 4 years. On top of that, the Westminster government has added a new track to the background music with the introduction of the Trade Union Bill, a vindictive attack on the entire trade union movement, which has the aim of sidelining and bankrupting unions, making it harder for us to reach out to and defend those who are not in the unions. Strong unions improve the workplace culture of even non-organised workplaces. They set a floor. This bill is designed to create trapdoors in the floor. We in Congress have for almost a decade, we have had a project sponsored by the Department of Employment and Learning, which offers representation to non-unionised migrant workers. It is run by Caoimhe Garbal, who's sitting over there, who some of you know. What you may not know is the demand for the service. In the last financial year, the project took on 120 client cases, dealt with 263 telephone and email inquiries, and advised hundreds of other migrant workers at clinics and workshops. Exploitation is alive and well right across Northern Ireland. Research into experiences of migrant workers in employment, It's Not How They Should Treat People, published in 2014, showed that migrant workers remain a group that is hard to reach and which continues to be vulnerable to exploitation and differential treatment. Their experience in the workplace is often characterised by the lack of written contracts, the prevalence of casual or zero-hour contracts, long working hours, and difficulties with pay and accessing in-work entitlements such as leave, or even maternity leave. A staggering amount of business owners believe that they have a perfect moral and legal right to sack a woman for the crime of pregnancy. We see the victims of this all too regularly, and in the last 3 years, Caixa has dealt with three cases of women becoming pregnant who worked for clergy and who were dismissed because they became pregnant. If you can think like that about foreign workers, then it is easy to act like that with NATO workers as well. When you have orchestrated cultural shift in public attitudes towards people on benefits, from vulnerable and deserving to feckless and shabby and sneaky, and therefore undeserving, then it is a simple enough step to accepting slave labour as the price of cheap cotton, as an entire economy once did. The will among some people to exploit those they see as inferior is always present, so society needs constraints to protect itself from such predators. Vulnerable women and children need to be protected from pimps. Vulnerable refugees need to be protected from people smugglers. Filipino fishermen need to be protected from boat owners and their trade bodies. Agricultural workers need to be protected in the mushroom sheds and apple orchards of County Armagh. We need the legal protections of laws and the instruments to carry out those laws on the streets and in the courts. There is room for action. Here are some recommendations we made to the recent consultation on the Race Equality Strategy. The final strategy and its action plan should address the problems of exploitation and discrimination in employment as a matter of priority. The problem of exploitation of migrant workers in Northern Ireland is properly investigated in order to establish a firm evidence base. A single enforcement body, an employment rights authority, should be established as a matter of urgency. We also support extending the remit of the Gangmasters Licensing Authority to other sectors such as construction, cleaning, care and hospitality. Extending the scope and coverage of collective bargaining at a sectoral level would play a major role in addressing the problems of exploitation and undercutting. Workplaces need unions to keep standards of decency and fairness, especially in those workplaces where we are refused entrance. Unions are beams of light peering into the shadows, making the unseen visible. You want to ensure that all of those talented and brave Syrians are well treated here in Europe. My suggestion is, give them a trade union card. Thank you.